This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I am 27. I will be 28 in November. For as long as I can remember, I've always been fidgety. I've always been super anxious. I've always kind of been worried about everything. And I think I remember being in like elementary school and skin picking. And like, if I got sunburn, I would like pick at my nose. And like, I remember people saying things to me about it. But I think that it's just one of those things where it's like, depending on the kind of person you are, you like just learn how to like hide it more and more and more. And then eventually, like, pulling at your hair is one of those things where I think people think I had like one major life event happen a couple of years ago and started pulling my hair out. Like, it takes a long time to get to the point where you have to like shave your head because you've pulled out so much hair. So it's like, I have sat and like played with my hair for as long as I can remember. And it's so, if you have a lot of hair, if you have thick hair, it's so easy to like hold and not, and nobody even noticed. Like, I think even on the day that I went to go shave my head, like, and I was convinced that like this was my only option because it was just, I mean, it was so bad. It was literally so bad. I hadn't left the house without like a hat or a scarf on, but I still knew that if I like styled my hair the right way, I could cover it up. But it was just more of the fact that it was like, I was sick of it. Like, it hurts and it was hot outside. And it's like, oh my God, like how many more like hair pieces and wigs can I buy before it's like, and I'm super excited about, I swear, I'm gonna get, it's so emotional. I'm so excited for this. I'm like such a big advocate for like talk about mental health. So I'm like so here for it, but like, so proud. Proud of you too. I'm like, look at you go. Look at you. This is really cool. Okay. Sorry. Yes. I pulled my hair out and I had to shave my head, and it was just one of those things where I think was a shot in the dark, for the record. Like, I think since it's happened, I like definitely have had like a whole change and like reframe about like a lot of things when it comes to like appearance and like what people see and what they assume when they see things. And there have been days, like at least once a day every day, where I'm like, should I have done that? Like, could I have just keep wearing like hair pieces? Like, it's gonna be winter soon. Like, the regrowth process is going to be tough. And it's like one of those things where like every day I'm like, okay, when I'm ready to like grow this back out, like people are like, oh, like when are you gonna grow it back out? I'm like, do you, like, my hair texture is gonna be insane. It'll be very thick and healthy, but it's gonna be like crazy. So I think the decision to like do that, a lot of people have like seen it as like, oh, she, or at least I have interpreted that a lot of people have seen it as like, oh wow, she like, you know, of course me with my like all my different mental illnesses, I like feel like people interpreted it as me wanting that like attention. But I was fully ready to like shave my head and never leave the house again. So, and but like since then, everything has been better, even down to like the hair pulling, because like you genuinely cannot, you can't, you, and that's one time you had posted one of your, like, I don't really use TikTok, but I see everything on Instagram and Facebook. And it was one about like, oh, like, can I stop my kids from pulling? And you had talked about how like, they're still like, yeah, like it, you can literally have your, like right now, my head is shaved down to the skin and I could go pull it out right now if I wanted to, if I let. So it's like, it doesn't, people, it doesn't get better. Like, everyone's like, oh, like, how is it now? How's your trichotillomania now? And it's like, it's there. It's just, it's harder to do. So therefore I've had to take up a lot more hobbies, and I've had to like have days where I'm like sitting in the car, like screaming, but it's like, But yeah, like no, like my hair's growing back. Like it's definitely getting better. But people also don't realize how many other people like need to hear that. And like even when I posted that picture, the amount of people that like talked to me was like crazy. And I know that you feel that on like a really large scale, which is really, really cool. So, and it helps. It helps so much. It helps so much.
You mentioned earlier that you had skin picking as well as hair pulling. Do you remember which one started first?
Probably skin picking, I think, but I really have never been able to like be. I was like a hairy kid. I'm like a hairy person. I've like always had like really thick like body hair. Like I've so and I've always been really self-conscious about it. I've never really picked at like my eyebrows or my eyelashes, but I think it's because like I had enough head hair to like get me between like head hair and like I will like pull the body hair and stuff as well. And I've got enough of it to go around, so I like don't end up like I. But like there are times too. But I think I want to say skin picking just because I feel like it's the one I remember being called out for more, and it's the one that I see like I've got like scars on my like thighs and stuff like just from like picking at scabs, and I think I remember it's and I think skin picking like hurts a little bit more because it's like a immediate pain response. So I know psychologically you like remember it a little bit clearer. But if you like, both my parents will sit and play with their hair too. So I know genetically just that fidget is like there. And because just of, I guess, my combination of stuff, my fidget like went a little further. I'm a very like sensory seeking person. So like in all reality, I probably need to have like a sensory diet. And like, I've been, thank God it's summer. I've been trying to like swim more and like stretch. When I danced, I was the only, I did not really skin pick and I did not pull any hair out during the time period that I danced, which was like probably like danced hard, probably like 12, 13 to like I graduated high school, like 18. I don't remember having the issue then. Maybe during school, like at times, but like, that like artistic release and that like creative thing definitely and I that's all I anybody I know who has anything ever I'm always like put your kids in dance put your kids in art put your kids in this and I wish that my like passion hadn't been something that like my body would grow out of because like I physically cannot like at 27 like I'll be 28 in a few months like I like always want to. I feel old. I can like feel it. Like my body can't do that stuff anymore. And I think that was when, like, the less my body moved the way it was when it was dancing, the more intense like the hair pulling got and the skin picking got.
When did you find out there was a name for these behaviors?
When was my first Google? It was probably like, I think I was still in college the first time because you want to know what I Googled was. Why the roots on my hair looks the way they did. Because you know how you'll pull the hair out, you'll see the root. I like the root, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if you want, I do. I was about to say edit that part out, but honestly, like that was like, because I think every person, I'm like, you know what? I think every person has like their different little quirk with it. And like for mine, like that was what started for me. It was like pulling out, I have really, really thick, deeply rooted hair, and I use a lot of keratin, and I was using a lot of biotin, and I was growing my hair so thick and growing it out blonde, and my hair roots were like these. In reality, what in retrospect, too, thick, healthy hair roots. But the first time I saw one, I was like, "What the fuck?" And so I was Googling like, "What's wrong with like, why do I have these like swollen like hair roots?" And like, it was just a lot of keratin, and it was like, but it's so. Because the first thing that pops up when you look at like look that up is like, okay, you have trichotillomania, and like it really does come up like right away because it I mean it's like that's keratin if you care that much like you've got trichotillomania like you need to and something about it, I think it's because even though I work in the mental health field like and I have a degree in psychology like it's still like there's a lot of like cognitive dissonance between like what I accept and then like what I feel like is accepted for myself. So like to immediately read something that had the word mania at the end, I was like, no, that's not me. I don't want to take up a space that I don't belong in. And then you click on trichotillomania and like, mind you, at this point, I still have this beautiful head full of hair that I get compliments on every day. And I don't pull at my facial hair. And yeah, I skin pick, but everybody skin picks and everybody in like, you know, and oh, everybody does that. So it's like, and though you click on trichotillomania and you go to images and it's I mean, now in reality, people that look like me and people that look the way I did right before I had to shave my head. But when you aren't at that point, it's just like scary. And you're like, no, that's not me. Like, I've got this, I pulled out three hairs. Like, I'm like, and, but I think as soon as you started to, like, for me personally, when I realized what it was and went through that process, I think it got worse. But the, like my therapist, I would like to share this little bit from her for sure. My therapist told me your outer appearance in no way reflects like the inner work that's happened. And like the worst my trichotillomania got, like what was happening on the inside was like all this growth and all of this like learning. And I'm about to cry again. But it's like, it's one of those things where everybody was like, oh my God, like you're pulling your hair out. And I'm like, yeah, but like I'm sober. And I'm like so happy. Oh my God, that's so exciting though. But no, I remember like everybody, as the hair pulling got worse and people started to notice, it was like I was like fighting for my life for people to realize that like the growth was happening. Like they're like, oh, you never go out anymore. You're not like, oh, I'm like, you're pulling your hair out. You're sitting at home and pulling your hair out. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not self-medicating. Like, I'm not making like it's things that like a lot of the people that like talked to me about it whenever I posted were girls that I remember having right there next to me back when I was like this really, really, really fun. Like, I love going out and I still know I'm fun, but like it was like for I just it made me want to like I wish I was like there and could like hug them and be like, damn, we were all just trying to like be good, like be okay.
Well, I remember for me personally, I look at pictures when I was like pull less, you know, not visibly pulling, you couldn't really tell. And I look at those pictures and I feel the way I feel now. And I'm like, oh yeah, she was miserable. You know, she might have looked.
She was so pretty, but she was so mad. Like, some people have reached out and been like, oh, are you okay? And I think there have been people who like thought that I was like in this really bad place. And then also people that saw that and realized that I had finally made it to like a really good place, which is like really cool. So I finally did get to the point where I was like, okay, I gotta go to a psychiatrist. Like, because I see a general doctor and she was like, you know, medicating me for anxiety and obviously, trichotillomania is an anxiety thing. I think that's one thing where it's like everybody's like, "Oh my God, what's making you so anxious?" And it's like, I don't like I've always had anxiety. This is just how my body's like wanting to cope with it right now. But like a lot of times I think general practitioners will like see it as like, "Oh, you're pretty anxious." Plus also like for me, I didn't bring it up to my doctor until like it got to the point where I was like could not hide it. Like in the last year, my hair pulling got to the point where I could no longer hide it to people that were like close to me. Like, unless I could wear a hat or like a scarf or like a hair piece around you. But if you were close to me, if you were like my parents or somebody I was like spending time around, like more so than just even like at work, like I work with kids. So, like, that probably contributed a lot to it too. I work in a job where I was just like throwing my hair up every day and like not really like think about what you look like because you're just around a bunch of kids and they all just like, I always say I wish I'd shaved my head sooner when it came to that job because they probably would have loved it. They would have just thought it was so fun. Working with kids is like the best thing you can do if you have any kind of self-confidence issue because they will immediately, while humbling you, like also like remind you that you like are like the shit, which is great. More so than any adults that I've met. Like I used to swear I would never work with kids and now I'm like, I swear to God, if I'm not in pediatrics, like something's wrong with me. Like I will always be around kids. It's great. It's great.
You mentioned having extensions and hair pieces. When did you first start using those?
When I was in dance and like in high school and I like was I wanted like I would like put in the fake ponytail because like there is nothing more beautiful than a long, sleek fake ponytail on stage on like a dance like there it's just really unbeatable. And then I always had like decently thick hair and I styled it, but I know I had friends in college that used extensions a lot and I honestly just didn't have the money to have them and I like thought of them as like this like really nice like expensive thing that I could never afford but I wanted them really bad. Even though I had nice hair but like I don't know. I started highlighting my hair when I was young, so like at this point like it was starting to get a little more fried and I don't know. I wasn't like super comfortable with my natural hair color. It's like super dark, and I've always been like, at this point, I had been like blonde for like ever. So I felt like if I like had dark hair, I would just like lose my soul. I don't know. Like something, there is something different in some bleach dye. Like it's not just, you're not just getting highlights. You're literally like, I don't, any girl with bleach hair, like I just like, it's not the easiest thing in the world. Like every girl with good highlights deserves like a round of applause, because I swear you make that decision and you know that for the rest of your life that you have either, you're either going to be bleach blonde and frying the fuck out of your hair, or you're going to be like, damn, I wish I was blonder. Part of me, I think my trichotillomania mania got worse when I grew my highlights out. That's, I've thought that too. Because I like just couldn't afford to get them done. And so I just started growing them out, honestly, and like kind of took scissors to my hair one day, attempt to not pull it out. I was like, you know what, let me just like cut all this blonde out instead. And as my hair got healthier, the pulling got worse because the texture was changing, because mine's like super texture based. And but then it, honestly, once I like got out of college, moved back, and then so where I am like living and where I'm from, I don't know what it is about like the nightlife in Savannah that like makes you feel like you can really just like, at least, and this is just for me personally, and I think this is like a dancer thing, like I love getting dressed up and feeling like a, like I love, any of my friends who know me know that my favorite thing to do is like get ready.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And so like the more I could add to that, like the process of just putting in extensions when you're so sensory seeking, and I love playing with my hair, like really it was more so that I learned I could afford them, because I figured out I could like go find some that were like cheaper and they still blended in, and then it was just game over from there. The clip-in extensions probably made a lot of things really worse, but I still, once again, do not regret my beautiful clip. I loved them. I loved, like, I, the second my hair's, I've already told my hairdresser the second that I started growing it out, that's like actually like I would love to like look at getting hand tied extensions and doing like a less damaging, like more permanent like route, because I really think that like whatever it takes to make you feel confident, like you, and if I like have taught, and like a lot of people are like, oh, they'll make it worse. I'm like, listen, I'm willing to try like really whatever. I, if it wasn't 110 degrees outside, like I, as much as I do think I like being bald, like I have wigs, I have hair pieces, I've bought nice wigs, I would like to buy nicer ones. Like it's kind of freeing to be able to like I still, even though I have like tried to really come to terms with like my raw, like unmasked, like natural self or whatever, like I love the process of like getting dressed up and getting ready. And I think that I think those two things have to correlate. There's no way they don't. And there probably is like a little bit of like a disassociation, like edge to it, but whatever. Like, once again, it's one of those things where it's like vices are not just like drinking or smoking or doing like drugs or like whatever. Vices are like anything that help. And some, you're just, I think like what happens is people get stuck with certain ones because they're easy and they're socially acceptable. But like in reality, we're all just really like searching for like the right vice that's not like self-damaging. Like I love doing my hair and makeup. That's probably something I should, well, not my hair anymore, but I'll do my wigs. Sometimes I'll sit and just play with them. It's probably really good for me. I probably should do it more often. I say that all the time. I'm like, I should probably whip one of these like older lace front wigs out and just like go to town on it. Like, why would I not? But it's because it's not the same either. Because there are, it's, I think people don't realize that it's like such a dynamic habit to have. It's not just like, ooh, I like the feeling of like playing with my hair, or like, ooh, I like, it is like, it's literally like, I went to a psychiatrist today and we talked about just like the different ways that like your brain, it, I love brains and chemicals. But like the different ways your body like releases chemicals, and like the pluck, like name a better like, you know, than the pluck. You just can't, like unless you can, and if like you can, then you're so lucky. But I remember like using, but I like I would did not start using hair pieces. Like, it wasn't in an effort to like cover anything up when I first started using them. It was because like I really just genuinely enjoyed like the process of like getting ready and like feeling like I always had nice hair, but like there it feels nice to have like really nice hair. Like putting in extensions and having like all that like just weight is like it's like the more hair you have, the more for me it felt like kind of like a mask. And like nobody can see me past all this like really, really pretty hair. And there are still days like today, like to this day with my bald ass head, that like I will wake up and like maybe have like a pimple or like I look like I haven't slept. And like but if I'm gonna run to the store, I'm gonna throw a wig on. And it's not because I'm like necessarily not confident, but it's because like some days it's okay to like need that little extra like mask. Like it's okay. Like, and I think that's something I need to tell myself more is like, just as it's okay, not, like it's so okay to like not wear it, but it's also okay to like feel like you need it. I started using them to cover up my like pulling probably within the like as it got like I was like I could do hats and hats and hats for like a really long time, and then once it started getting really hot outside, it all kind of really progressed like in the past like 9 to 10 months, like as the weather like amped up, because like I think the last like year and a half were just like a really like crazy time in my life, and then things kind of like calmed down and I started to focus on myself. But then literally as it got hot outside, like it was just a genuine like sensory thing. Like I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm pulling my hair out, I have a hat on, I want to take my hat off. You can't wear gloves. You can't wear your finger, like all the different things. Like I think a lot of people forget to like, because anybody who knows me knows that I tried every single thing that I could do up until the point where like shaving my head was the last resort. And I mean, I had like the finger glove things. I would wear gloves. I have mittens. I have hats. I have hats that cover like your full face. Like I have like my mom, who's like really like tried, like she's been so supportive and like tried so much to like help me like figure out ways to like combat the situation. But she's like giving me all these like gifts and like all these like hats, and I've tried it all. And like the second it got hot, I couldn't like I can't even put I cannot put I can't even put the wig cap itself on right now because it's just like 110 degrees. And that was kind of like once because I live in Savannah, I just live in this like humid, hot, like it's been like this since like February. So everything in the winter, it really wasn't too bad because I could like I think between like November to like January-ish, like it was like, oh, I could honestly throw a hat on and like I was pulling, but I wasn't like having to cover anything up. But then I started like seeking out like the hair toppers, and I started seeking out the like the like line from like, oh, I'm gonna get a hair topper to like suddenly I'm having to buy like lace front hand sewn wigs was like a matter of like 2 months. Because I think the more you realize you can cover it up, the less you find yourself. Like I definitely went through a period where I was dealing with like what felt like so much in life that like to everybody else, everybody was like, "Oh, your hair pulling, you must stop." But like for me, it was like that's the last thing that is. And the more I could cover it up, and the more I knew that like I would be okay if I needed to have this like moment to myself where I like was like messing with I caught fucking with my hair, like if I needed to go fuck with my hair, that like honestly with all the shit that I was like dealing with and all the shit that I felt like was going on in my head, like I was like, okay, like you know what, like the same way people work for a paycheck, like Jesus Christ, I just made it through a whole day, so I'm going to sit here and like pull my hair out for a second. And I think I've done obviously in the last few months, like so one of the things about shaving it is that if I want to pull it, I have to use tweezers, which makes it a two-step process, which allows me to sit there and see the tweezers in my hand and say, okay, and make, even though I have like such bad like compulsions and such bad impulse control, like it still, it gives, because there is that break, I know like just from what I know in life and school and all that, that it like at least gives me a second to like stop, pause, and think. And then with my new medication, I feel like what really got me when I first shaved it is that everybody was like, oh, it's gotten better, right? No, it was the, not that it got worse, it was at the exact same level. I just was like finding different ways to do it. It wasn't until I think in the last, I will like genuinely say 2 weeks, because I started the right medicine that my brain needed about a month ago, that it's gotten, I like say ever so slightly better. And like I'm hitting maybe like a 50-50 mark now when tweezers are in my hand where I can be like, let me put these down. And 50-50 is generous. Like 50-50 is like today. But like that's like, and like it might not be the way, but like, like I think when I went to the psychiatrist, I thought that my medication was doing this to me. But what was happening in reality is that like I just needed different medication. And I think a lot of like, I thought for a long time the goal was to get off the medication. Like you take it and then you go to therapy until you don't need it anymore. But that's like genuinely just not some people's reality. And like I thought that was supposed to be my reality, but like no, it's just not. Like at least not for me. But yeah, I started using hair to cover up my hair probably. And then like, and still now, like I have, and I want more wigs. I have wigs in my Amazon cart. Or I feel like any time, like the thing is, like nobody else probably even like notices, but I feel like that's how it is with any like BFRB, is like it feels like it's your whole face or your whole head or your whole body, or like I'm sure like I said, I've never done eyebrows and eyelashes, but I can only imagine like how like it doesn't matter if it's a half an inch or like a centimeter or whatever, I don't know, like but it feels like it's your whole, for me it like I would feel, walk around, feel like I probably have like a spot on my head that was the size of like, I mean, at times maybe like the size of like a penny, but like it felt like it was like one whole half of my head.
What would be your advice to someone who wants to go to a psychiatrist and talk about different types of medications?
Just go. If you even have, and now hear me out, because I work in mental health, big mental health advocate. I say this to everybody I know. If the thought crosses your mind that it's something you might maybe want to talk about or think about, just do it, because it's 2024. I guarantee you, you're going to find somewhere that covers your insurance, like your insurance covers. And if you don't have insurance, you're going to like you're it'll work itself out. Like it's so much more accessible right now, even if it's not a psychiatrist, even if it's like I also go to therapy weekly, and like I believe in God, I believe in talk therapy, good Lord in Christ. Even something like this, like even just sitting and talking, like it's so good. If it can work into your budget, if your insurance covers it, or if it doesn't and you can work it into your budget, just go. Whether it be a psychiatrist, a therapist, an LPC, a PA, a whatever, like I don't, if you can talk to somebody that is not directly connected to you and your life about what you have going on in your life, just do it. Because there is no better thing than being able to sit and just like spill your guts to somebody and know that, like, at least for me, like, and know that, like, it's not gonna leave that room. I think there is like nothing more, like, there is like, even like, this is so healing to sit and talk about trichotillomania, but like, you're still sitting and like, making sure that you're saying the right thing, and you know that, like, even though you could edit stuff out, you're like making sure that you don't like, but like, bro, in therapy, I hand her my phone and name drop, and she like knows everything about everything before everybody. I've been going to the same one for like years and years, and I always tell her like we're gonna be therapy buddies until one of us dies. Like I'm like I'm gonna come to you forever, like because it to get and now I also say too to people, because I have a lot of friends who, and I've just heard a lot of people say things like, oh, I've tried therapy and I didn't like it. And, or like, oh, I didn't really get it. Like, if you go to one and you don't like it, go to a different one, please. And I think that's the hardest part, because that happened to me with psychiatry. I went to a psychiatrist who I trusted, and she made me feel so bad about myself. And that was like a really big turning point for me with a lot of mental health issues. And it made me get a lot worse. And it turned me off of like I didn't want to go to anybody. That and that was where a lot of like she accused me of having all of these substance abuse issues, and it just was like the wrong thing for me to hear at the wrong time, because it was something that like I had struggled on and off with for so long. And it just like, granted, it probably like did make me like there was different ways for me to have had to go about that journey. I didn't have to have some woman like telling me that I was like really just like awful. But like even that, like I was so like the first time I went to a new psychiatrist was probably 2 years later, because I was so scared and I was like so shaken when I got into the office that I couldn't even like speak. Like literally was curled up on, like I know how to act. Like when I'm like alone by myself, I can be a little quirky and like, but like I know how to act in public, and I couldn't even like act like a normal human in this office. Like I was like curled up on the couch and like literally shaking and like just in tears, because I was so scared that he was gonna like hospitalize me. because this woman had wanted to hospitalize me, and there is nothing wrong with that. And if you want to go, if you, I believe in hospitalization. I believe in whatever you need. I believe that's great. But like, once again, like I had to be at work in an hour. So like when I was sitting in this lady's office and she was like, okay, I think it's best if you go stay here. I was like, I literally have to be at work. Like, I don't like, this is not like, that's not how you do that. Like, meanwhile, my therapist was able to get me through the whole process of like finding like a different way to like have an outlet. Like she was able to do all of that without ever once having to tell me what I needed to do. Not to say it's not hard, but I would hope that like somebody working in the mental health field immediately knows that the rule number one, don't tell somebody what to do. Like, but yeah, I think the other advice I would give is like, and that was when I had to learn to take was like, if you do go and it sucks, try again. Like that's the hard, that's the hard, going is hard, but going back after it sucks is harder because you're embarrassed and you're like, or even like, I struggled a lot with like going back. Like it's, even though I like go weekly, I started weekly and then I went to biweekly, but I definitely hit a point where I like wanted to stop going because like once you start to say more and like you start to really like, you start to really spill your guts in there and like all like, I know for me, like I would like leave after and be like, oh my God, like what did I say? Like she thinks I'm nuts. And going back was hard. And there would be times where it was so hard to go, but like she didn't think I was nuts. Like, and even if she did, like I would remind myself a lot that like even if she did, like technically, you know what? I'm paying her to listen to me if she thinks I'm nuts. So like if I, and like a lot of it, like if that's what you have to tell yourself is like, okay, well, whatever. Like, even though like of course make a connection with your therapist and be personable. But if that's what it takes to go back, like just remind yourself that in end of the day, like whatever you say, they lit, you can like, unless you literally like, there's only a few things you can say in therapy that are going to make them have to tell somebody. And even then they still can't tell everybody everything. So it's like, just speak. And if you get nervous that you said too much, like close your eyes, close your eyes and say more. Or like I used to do, like, I think one thing that's really great now for people that like struggle with a lot of anxiety is like my therapist will do phone call sessions, like a phone call. Like just do a phone call. You can literally put it on mute and like speaker and like just sit there and just like go on for 50 minutes. And I think that people feel like that's, it took me a long time to realize that that was just as productive as like I don't sit in therapy necessarily and set goals and check in and see where I'm at on meeting my like goals and all this stuff. Like we don't do any of that. And I've made more progress in the last 3 years than I did for the 24 years prior when I was trying to do it myself and set goals and like Google online how to be more productive. And like it's more so like, and it's literally just from having somebody that is forced to sit there and listen because I talk a lot. I talk and I ramble, and that's like the 1 hour every week where I do not have to self-monitor my ADHD, and I do not have to self-monitor whether or not I'm like listening and paying attention, or if the person I'm talking to is going to wonder if I'm paying attention or if my face is reading right. And like that's like the one time, like my only social interaction where that, and there's not that there's anything wrong with feeling that way while you're having social interactions, it's just that's why social interactions can be so exhausting. But it's important to have that one that like isn't.